Tonight to Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to do a little study tonight that is going to give us some understanding in the words of God to a verse that is very important for us as Christians, and a verse that is also very important for our children. Very important for us to understand God. Hebrews chapter 13, let's begin reading with verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. And then this, verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now notice there when he says, the bed undefiled. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. You know, a lot of times we don't understand what that means. And tonight we want to talk about this particular verse of Scripture so we can understand what it means. You know, there's an awful lot in the world, in school, and in the media that said about the relations between people. And we want to talk about this tonight, and we want to talk about it in a way that is instructive from the Scripture and in a way that's also very decent for everybody that's gathered here tonight. So it really help us to understand what is right in the sight of God. What is right in the sight of God? That's what we need to understand. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to treat the subject that's before us scripturally, and help us to be able to understand it so that as we preach it, it would make perfect sense to us what you're saying and how to apply this verse in our lives. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will guide us in the Scripture and teach us. We ask you to do these things in a way that glorifies you and edifies these dear saints, and magnifies your word appropriately, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. So he says the marriage bed is undefiled. And, you know, those of us that are saved have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and so we are now members of Christ's body. We are members of his flesh and of his bones, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30. And therefore, as members of Christ's body, we are to be undefiled. Undefiled. Look at a couple of places. Like I said, we're going to look at, kind of treat this like a study tonight. First of all, go to the Song of Solomon in your Old Testament. You know what the Song of Solomon is? It is a song of Solomon concerning his bride, but the picture from this Song of Solomon is the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. That's what you're reading about here. And in Song of Solomon chapter 5, look at verse 2. She says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying. So this is now Jesus Christ speaking to his bride, and he says in Song of Solomon 5:2, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. So once we are in the church, we are saved people, then our treatment of such a subject as Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, needs to be consistent with our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul is now speaking of his relationship to us in the church. And he's telling us something that he hopes to be able to do in the future. Let's read verse 1. for the context. And then verse 2 is the verse we want. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 is the verse we want. We'll begin with verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Watch it. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband. So he's talking to the church, and he says, I have espoused you to one husband, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, that I may present you as what? A chaste virgin to Christ. As a chaste virgin to Christ. So it is important for us to understand that when we are saved, we are different than the world. When we are saved, whatever attitudes that were formed about marriage and relations with people before marriage and during marriage, whatever opinions may have been formed, whatever we learned about these matters from the world, change when we get saved. Because once we get saved, we are in a special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and He looks at us as undefiled. And Paul looked at us in the church as being one, a chaste virgin that is then to be espoused and married to Christ. So, what we're going to do is we're going to go through the Bible now, and we're going to study some instances of relations between people that are defiled. And when we study these relations between people that are defiled, we will understand what undefiled means by what it's not. For instance, if somebody were to say, what is black or what is darkness? One thing that you could say is you could tell them what white is, or you could tell them what light is, and then say this is the opposite of that. And by learning what it's not, you learn something about what it is. And so we're going to look at some relations that are in the Bible that are called defiled relations. And that will help us to understand what an undefiled relation is in marriage. Okay? We're all clear on that? All right. So and you say, why are we doing this? Because, listen, you are inundated in everything. On the internet, in the press, in education, in society, amongst your friends, you are inundated with opinions about these matters, and many of those opinions are not right. So you need to know from the Bible what is right so that you are not persuaded to believe something by being pressured by the world according to something that God said is defiling. All right, so first of all, let's turn to Genesis chapter 34. And notice, there's a question that's asked about this. I've had this question asked of me several times in the ministry. And the Bible will clear up for us what the Bible has to say about this subject. Genesis chapter 34. All right, what happens here? Jacob and his family have returned from Padan Aram. And they are on their way back to Bethel, and they settle into the land of Shechem. And in Genesis chapter 34, verses 1 and 2, Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. So she's going out to see the girls in the land, the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her. What are the next three words? And defiled her. They weren't married, and yet they slept together. And the Bible says when they did that, that defiled her. Look at verse 5. Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Look at verse 13. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully and said, because he had defiled their sister. So people have asked this question. What about premarital relations? What about premarital sex? Is it okay with God if both people are married? Are saved, and they decide that at some point they want to be married? Why is that not okay? There are a lot of people, I believe, that teach that it is okay, but according to the Bible, it's not okay. It is defiled or defiling. Go to Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 14. You know, it's amazing how clear the Bible is on these subjects if you will simply study what the Bible says about those matters. And so that's why we're studying today. Revelation chapter 14, and look with me in verse 4, the 144,000 have appeared before the throne. They're singing a new song. They've been redeemed from the earth. And in verse 4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are what? So what does the Lord want of His children? He wants them to come into the marital relations as virgins. And if not, they have already been defiled. He says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. So you come to that, put to that place of marriage without having gone through these kinds of relations that are only to be reserved for marriage. That's not the world's attitude at all. They say if you want to be sure that it's going to be a good marriage, go ahead and get together before the marriage and see how it works out. That's not what you do. That's not what you do. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You say, well, how do you avoid that in this world where there's so much pressure and so much temptation for these matters? How do you go through a relationship of dating or courtship or whatever you want to call it, however you pursue that? How do you do that without getting into this situation? Well, the Bible gives you very clear instruction on that. Now listen to the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, watch it, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. So if two people are in a relationship where they think that there might be a marriage ensuing, then how are they to conduct themselves so they don't defile their marriage before their marriage? How do they do that? How do they do that? According to the Scripture, what does He say? It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Okay? So what we have had to learn here in the church is we've had to learn that the pressure on young people to get together quickly at an age inappropriate is that there is the desire to get together and there is the desire to be close to each other before marriage. And so the way to avoid that is not to be close to each other before marriage. Touching, kissing, and the other types of things that go along with that. Are we communicating with each other or am I just talking to the chairs? Okay, let's stay together on this because listen, as a church, we want to make sure that we form the opinion from God, not from the world. So listen, when you, there's young people here, there are young people all over, there are parents of young people here. What we need to do is we need to recognize that the temptations are strong to defile the marriage before there ever is a marriage. To defile the people before there ever is a marriage. And the way to avoid that is to maintain some separation so that the contact is avoided. And then when they get married, they avoid fornication. Each has the own spouse. How are we doing so far? That doesn't sound like the world at all, does it? Boy, it doesn't sound anything like the world. You say, well, yeah, but you know, they love each other and they want to be close to each other and all that. I understand that. Let me tell you something. If you get started off on that marriage right and Jesus doesn't come for a while, you're going to have a lot of contact. As a matter of fact, after a while, if it goes like a lot of these, you're going to be looking for ways to go on weekends fishing. How we doing, fellas? Everybody doing okay? Okay. So the Bible is very clear on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verses 15 and 16. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? They are. Did you not know that? You do now. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body, for two, saith he, shall be one flesh? That's supposed to be reserved for marriage. But when two people get together, even if they're not married, they become one flesh. So let's have the attitude of God, not the attitude of the world. Amen? And in order to do that, what you have to do is you have to recognize, Paul recognized, there is a temptation to defile people Dinah was defiled before the marriage. God said, don't do that. What I want is a marriage that is honorable and all, and a bed that is undefiled. Well, the way to do that is to preserve yourself so that you get to the marriage and not and you're still a virgin and not defiled. You say, well, what if I've already messed that up? Then don't mess it up ever again. Get the things straight and live according to the way God said it, and things are going to be okay. How are we doing? We're doing okay? All right, let's go to another one. Now, this one is very obvious, very obvious. Genesis chapter 49. But we have to cover it because it's in the Bible, and we have to cover it because you had no idea that you were going to be where you are in society today. You had no idea we were going to get here with legalized marriages of the nature that we have in this country today. So we have to go ahead and cover this next subject because the Bible covers this subject. Genesis chapter 49. In Genesis chapter 49, Jacob is pronouncing blessings and prophecies over his children. And he says in verses 3 and 4, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defiledst thou it. He went up to my couch. So the marriage bed is undefiled, but Reuben defiled it. How? He spent the night with Jacob's wife. You say, well, that's incest. That would never happen. Have you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 5? That was going on in the church. And Paul said, go to it. Look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You may not have seen it before. We don't want to leave anything out and leave you questioning what is right. We all know, I mean, even in society we should know, that this type of relationship is wrong. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. That was going on, and it shouldn't have happened. Are you puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you? They had become so complacent with the way things were going in Corinth, and they had become so complacent with the way things were going on in the world, it came into the church, and nobody said, this ought not to be going on. Paul wasn't even there, and he had to say, wake up! Church, do you not see this thing is wrong? Verse 3, I verily as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. You see, that thing infiltrated a church, and nobody was the wiser. They were like, well, I guess that's the way everybody, that's kind of how it goes on out there. You know, we ought to be welcoming to folks. No. Paul said this type of relationship is wrong. It is defiling. It defiles that marriage bed, and we can't allow it. It was wrong in the Old Testament, still wrong in the New Testament. He said, do not do it. Now, that thing is not legal yet. You don't know where it's going. But I'm going to tell you whether it ever is or is not. It is wrong, wrong and defiling. And you don't want to be persuaded by anything that you may have heard or thought or that was culturally acceptable outside there. It is not to God's people. All right, let's look at another one. Leviticus chapter 18. You say, well, that was rather obvious to me. Well, So should some of these other things be. But boy, you're just like, what do we do with this? All right, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 20. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. That's called adultery. And that is defiling. It defiles that bed. You say, well, I knew that. It's funny that a lot of people who are Christians know that, and a lot of people who are Christians, I don't know how many, don't have a count, have gotten into this very thing here. You say, how in the world did that happen? Perhaps it happened, among other things, because they didn't get a clear view of what God said and then make the decision, if marriage is honorable, we're not going to defile it with this sin. So we're gonna clarify it now. You remember when Jim Benny was here, Dr. Jim Benny was here, and he talked to us all, just did some wonderful work on marriages and relationships and things like that. He said he had a counseling ministry for decades, and he said one of the principal things that he had to minister to were men and women that were in the ministry that got caught in this sin. So if that's the case, then we are not immune. Those temptations, those pressures, those lusts, those opportunities present themselves to people who know better. But it's so common. Don't you, have you ever watched movies? You can do this, it's okay. I'm not going to judge you. You know, he doesn't think we watch movies. Okay, well, then he did this. Now he thinks we watch movies. Okay, and then no big deal. I thought you did anyway. Is this not one of the principal themes that goes on in movies? Absolutely. If you fill your mind with that and fill your heart with that, it starts letting down the guard, and pretty soon the next thing you know, you feel like everybody else is doing it, and if they are, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. Numbers chapter 5. If you want to study this out for yourself, you're going to find this particular sin mentioned probably more when it concerns this type of defiling relationship than any other. Numbers chapter 5, look at 20. Verse 20, if thou hast gone aside to another instead of thy husband, and if thou be defiled, and some man have lain with thee beside thine husband, there you go. And we just see it, notice it's called defiled. And the marriage bed is undefiled. The way to keep that from happening is to keep adultery out of that. You say, well, is that covered that same way in the New Testament? Yes, turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. You're noticing that we're picking this stuff up in the Old Testament. We're finding it in the New Testament. People say, yeah, well, that's the way it was in the Old Testament. God doesn't say anything about that stuff in the New Testament. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. So in Romans chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth, and if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, I don't want to get off track here. This is talking about somebody who enters into a relationship with another man before the man that she's married to has died. This passage of Scripture does not contemplate divorce. This passage here is a husband and wife are married, and then she goes and joins herself to another man. That's called adultery. That's what you're reading here. And so it is covered in the New Testament, and that will defile the marriage, and it will defile the people that are involved in the marriage. So as we go through this, we already are beginning to see that when he says that marriage bed is undefiled, that means a premarital sex will defile it, incest will defile it, adultery will defile it. All clear? Let's go back to the Old Testament and see something else that will defile it. These are all very important, not one more than the other. But you're hearing an awful lot about same-sex marriage now. The Bible covers it. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Leviticus 18, verse 22. You can't make it any clearer than God makes it right here. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shalt any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Watch it. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. So this stuff was going on in the land of Canaan before the Jews got there. You know what it is. It's homosexuality. It's what's legalized now and called, when it involves a marriage, same-sex marriage. And the Bible says, thou shalt not. But what does it do? What does it do? Listen, now this is really important. What does it do? In verse 24, who does it defile? Who does it defile? It defiles the whole nation. Do you realize that when in this country we allowed for these things to be legalized, our nation is defiled in the eyes of God? Do you see that? He's not talking about Israel here. You know, you say, well, these things are all written to Israel. No, he said those nations defile themselves, which I cast out before you. You see, that those are Gentile nations. It's like this. Our country defiled the nation when these things were allowed and now have become legal. What else is defiled? Look at verse 25. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Do you realize that the people who are liberal-minded about these things concerning relations between those of the same sex, do you realize they are oftentimes the same people that we call tree huggers who believe in climate change and want the world to be a better place? We just need to be nice to Mother Earth. They defiled the land. They polluted the land. Do you see it? Are you reading the same Bible I'm reading? Do you see it? That's hypocritical. I love Mother Earth. You do not. When you allow those kinds of things in this country because you just defile the land so that the land wants to vomit out its inhabitants. The land would much rather have the carbon dioxide from your automobile than it would that sin. That's where I am anyway. So it pollutes the land. Look at verse 27. All these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled. Who else is defiled? The nation is defiled. The land is defiled. Look at verse 30. Therefore shall you keep mine ordinance that you commit not any of these abominable customs. You see, they become customary. In our case, they're customary and legal. Any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, still talking about those Gentile nations, and that you defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. So it defiles the nation, it defiles the land, it defiles the people. Yeah, they say, yeah, but the Lord really softened that up in the New Testament. Oh, he did, huh? Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and see if he softened it up any. If you read Leviticus chapter 20, you'll find out that in the case of same-sex marriage, the Lord said, if you find anybody in that type of relationship, you're supposed to kill them. That's what he said. Now, watch what's here in Romans chapter 1. I mean, that's the law, okay? That's the law. But watch this. Romans chapter 1, we're going to be getting right into the middle of a context. Look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's what most people are trying to do with this Bible. They say it's a lie. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. They did that because they believed that we evolved, we weren't created. Who is blessed forever, amen. For this cause God gave them up unto what kind of affections? Vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. So you see both sexes, both genders. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So the mind of people in the world who do not believe this book say, what we're doing is just fine. And the reason they say that is because the mind is reprobate. It's been defiled. It's been corrupted. Now he starts listing all kinds of sins that flow from this. He says in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, and so forth. Okay? And then look down here at verse 32. When he gets through the list of sins, watch it. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are what? Worthy of death. They know it. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's where we are in this country. So you cannot be persuaded. You can't let yourself be persuaded by what you see going on out there to accept it in here. And I'll tell you where it really gets you. I'll tell you where it really gets you. It really gets you if you find out that this kind of thing has happened to one of your kids. Because then where are you going to take the stand? You say, well, that's my child and I love my child. No doubt. No doubt we love our children. So you get to make a choice of whether you're going to stand with them and say, in this case, I'm going to look the other way and say it's okay because you're my child. Or I'm going to take a stand over here and say, in spite of the fact that you're my child, I'm standing with God. And there are people of us, Bible believers, who are faced with this all over the country. And it's hard. But it's real. You see, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter. Well, you don't need to turn there. There's another place and he says, even them that defile themselves with mankind. It's just more in the New Testament giving you a second witness. You see, these kinds of things defile that bed. You say, well, what if the person was saved that got into this? The bed is defiled. Do you see it? And what he said is, when marriage is honorable at all, it's honorable, and then the bed is undefiled, so it can't involve these four things that we've already looked at. Let's see. You want to see another one? How are we doing so far? You want to see another one? Turn to Matthew chapter 15. You say, preacher, I don't do any of that. Okay, well, I'm glad. Praise the Lord. Be very sure that you and your friends and your family understand these matters. But then look at this, Matthew chapter 15. And look, we could see this in Mark just as well. It's also in Mark, but it just happened to be Matthew 15 is the first place where it shows up in the New Testament. So we look at it, verse 18. The question came up about what defiles a man, and it's whether or not he eats with unwashing hands. And the Lord said in verse 18, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, watch it, and they defile the man. What comes forth from the heart? Verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, here they are, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not the man. Now, look what he says here. Watch it again. Verse 18, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So what is it? Is it the doing of these things or the presence of these things in the heart that defiles the man? Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. So if those things are lodged down in the heart, that's when they've defiled the man, right? To clarify, Matthew chapter 5, go to Matthew chapter 5 and look at verse 28. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. But I say unto you, Matthew 5, 28, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. In his heart. He didn't touch her. It was just in his heart. Do you realize, listen, that a person can defile that relationship by bringing this stuff into the relationship when it's lodged down in the heart? in the form of evil thoughts, adulteries, and fornications? Jesus said you don't have to commit the act to have a defiling thing. It's down in the heart. Get it. Listen, when you get saved as a young person, or you get saved as an adult, this is the kind of stuff that is in our heart. And if you've allowed yourself to be exposed to books that are defiling and to movies that are defiling, because listen, this stuff we're talking about, this is in all the movies. I'm not a movie watcher, but this is the kind of stuff that you know sells, right? And if it gets worse and you are one that has traveled on your phone or on your computer outside and into pornography, you really nailed it. That's too quiet. That's way too quiet. That's what, you know what you did? You brought that stuff into the heart. Now you have an image with it that you wrestle with, and when you bring that into the relation and you have expectations about that marriage bed that involves some of that stuff that you've seen and you've been exposed to, you defile that bed. Hello, how are we doing? Are we telling the truth? You see, out there they say, oh, that's all fine, man, that's what you do. That's not all fine, not with God, because that's the stuff that's down in the heart. Turn to Jude, the book right before the book of Revelation. Jude. Look at verses 7 and 8. You know about Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Right? God destroyed the whole, all four cities of five that were down there in that plain because of these kind of things we're talking about tonight. All right, Jude 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. God's not happy with it in either testament. Likewise, watch it also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. You can defile the flesh by filthy dreaming. And where do you come up with those kind of thoughts? Out of a defiled heart, and when it's exposed to imaginations that are everywhere today, it has a defiling effect on you and therefore on your relationship. And this is what's going on. This is reality. Did you not? Isn't it an amazing thing that the Bible speaks directly to the very sins of this country that are going on today? That is not an out-of-date book. And where you and I have to be careful is in these areas. Number one, we have to be careful as a church. We have to recognize that in Corinth, they lowered it, and became more and more worldly with the passage of time. You know, the frog in the hot water thing. Until it boiled, it didn't die, didn't know about it, the fact that it was heating up that much. And it infiltrated the church. We have to protect our church. We have to. We have to be careful with our children not to allow these kinds of things that lead to these problems. The physical contact, which leads to fornication and therefore premarital sex and a defiling of the relationship before they ever get married. And the pressures, we also, secondly, have to be very knowledgeable that in our homes, as much as we preach the truth in this church and in our Sunday school classes, and as much as you preach the truth in your homes and try to live according to these words, that stuff may show up in your house, and when it does, you got to recognize this is where God stands and I cannot stand with that sin. If you don't let me make the decision for you and control you in the decision that you've made to get into one of these things, at least I do not have to condone it, and you know I don't condone it. Will not condone it. They have to know that. You have to know. You have to know that. And you have to see the propensity or the opportunity for these things to develop even under your own roof. That's how sickening it is in our society today. We got to be careful with that. You You know, there are a lot of reasons to be married, and a lot of the reasons, a lot of the reasons that people get together in early relationships, and I understand it's a beautiful part of the relationship, is because of the physical attraction. And I'm glad that's there, and it should be, and it's a wonderful thing in the relationship, what you've married. But you have to take control of your spirit in that, not to let yourself be drawn into that attraction. You want to pursue a spiritual understanding, a godly understanding of your relationship to God and what God's will is. And so the less that it involves physical stuff, the more that you can pursue the spiritual aspect of the relationship to see if God's in the thing. You ought to know whether God's in the thing way before you're making decisions about how pretty the other person is. Are we together on this? And you can't do that. I'm telling you. Listen, when you find somebody that's very attractive to you early on, and you draw to that attraction, that becomes a distraction to spiritual things. I mean, it just does, because, you know, the preacher gets up and starts preaching, or the Sunday school teacher starts teaching, or you're reading your Bible, and listen, I know how it goes. Your mind is swimming with thoughts about this person you now have fallen in love with. And that's a good thing at the right time. But the Bible says, who are we to love first and foremost in our lives? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's what you're supposed to love first. And it's really hard to do. Really hard to do. When you first find somebody that's attractive enough that stirs your heart and say, this might be the person with whom I want to spend the rest of my life. And if you let that thing go physical, you'll defile that relationship before you ever get married. Hello. How we doing? We doing all right? And Paul, listen, God and Paul, I mean, I say Paul, that's all the scripture, laid that thing out for you and gave you all the protections for the church, for your family, and for you as individuals, and for me as an individual, how to stay out of this. Where does it start? You got to make sure that what comes equipped in that heart, those evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications, are not fed. You got to starve that dog. You got to make sure of that. And then you got to make sure to follow those practical procedures that Paul gave, and then follow those things that God laid out in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and not pursue any of that that defiles you, defiles the land, defiles the nation, or defiles this church. Amen. Amen. Now listen, all these things we talked about today are acceptable in society. If you leave here and talk about what we talked about at the coffee shop where you work, they're going to look at you cross-eyed and wonder where in the world you came up with such strange and narrow-minded ideas. And if you do have, the subject does happen to come up, you say, I got them from God. He wrote them down in his book, and he expects us to follow these. They're acceptable in society. Many of these are even legal. And all of these things are practiced, at least culturally, even though they may not be legal. And all of these things are promoted by nonprofit organizations as good. And Hollywood defiles these things in all of their movies, or most of them. And all of those things brought to your family will defile your marriage. So the trouble now is this. Turn to Titus chapter 1, verse 15. The title, the problem is this. Some of us in our life before we got saved got messed up in some of this. And when that has happened to you or me, it has a tendency to do something to us. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Under the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Watch it. Even their mind and conscience is defiled. In other words, when you have been through anything about what we've talked about tonight, it has a tendency to defile your mind and defile your conscience. And when it has a tendency to defile your mind and defile your conscience, or defile my mind and defile my conscience, and you see it show up with a friend or a close relative or even a child, you have a tendency, or I have a tendency, to cut them slack because we say, well, it happened to us. Wrong. What you do is you purify yourself in the words of God. The Bible says, unto the pure, all things are pure. You purify yourself in the Word of God, and then when you see it happen, you already know what it did to you. And you look at that thing and say, I am not going to cut this person slack. I am going to tighten so they don't go through the defiling thing that I went through. It's not okay because it happened to me. It's okay. I'm now pure by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to do everything we can to keep that from happening there. That's the right attitude. But you don't see that often. It's kind of like, oh, you know, it's a beautiful thing, and we allow this, and we should never allow it. You say, well, I want to go ahead and let this thing get started so these folks don't get into this trap. Listen, let God build the relationships. Let God build the relationships. He will make good relationships, and He will keep those relationships clean if you follow what He says. Just do it. Do it God's way. And maintain God's attitude, and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Even in a wicked world, you can walk through this and keep yourself clean. That's very important. Listen, I know there's a lot of pressure, and our children can apply a lot of pressure, but you're still the boss. And that Word of God is still the truth. And you're still tougher than they are. Stand your ground. Hello, folks. Stand your ground. Stand with God. These things are right. Father, we're so thankful tonight to be instructed in the words of God. They're very, very, very sober. But there's no ifs, ands, and buts about you, God. You make it absolutely plain. These things that are defiling will defile that marriage. It's undefiled when it doesn't involve these things we've looked at tonight. Help us, Father. Help us as a church. Help us as family members. Help us as individuals to stay away from these temptations and stay away from these things. Father, I pray you will guard our households. Guard our hearts, Father. Guard our church. Now your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Listen. We got to get serious, folks, about the things of God. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. We got to get serious about the things of God. And on a message like this, I know there's not a person here that would want to make a move in any direction unless somebody else would look up and say, well. We have to get that as a church. We got to get that out of our minds. This is very serious, and it has lifelong consequences. Respond to God in this invitation however He leads you to respond, but do business with God. I'll do business with God, and let's be responsive to His Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you will help us tonight. Come out of here with renewed minds and renewed convictions. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.